the country about that. Wonderful. We're excited to be here, here with my family, traveling out on the road. I am a traveling minister, been living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Out there, my family, we migrated there 40-something years ago, but I still keep those good old Pennsylvania roots, those Steeler roots, I guess is actually really what we are. And so I'm excited. So we've spent the last few days here in the state. Actually brought my family with me. You probably just saw them walk out. So excited. I've been traveling now for 20 years. Actually, tomorrow I will have completed 20 years in the traveling ministry. September 27th, 2001. I know. How fun is that? Out on the road. So years ago, I started out. I'll just go ahead and say it. I started out when I was 30. I was single and just trying to find the plan of God. Anybody find yourself in that spot where you just kind of, you got something in front of you and you just kind of do what it seems like God tells you to do? And I'm telling you, it's been a great 20 years just traveling all over the country. So this is what I do for a living. It's what I do for a job. Travel all over the world even. A little bit into, went to Cairo, Egypt a couple years ago. Been to Russia, been to a handful of countries there in Europe, been to South America, been to Central America, but just love traveling all over. And I'm telling you, we've really enjoyed this week here in Pennsylvania. It's a great time of the year to come through, isn't it? Sunny skies, rolling hills. We don't get that in Oklahoma. Oh, nice people, wonderful people. Probably in a month, I can just imagine how the trees will look. Yeah, we don't get that in Oklahoma. Have you ever seen a travel brochure for See the Leaves in Oklahoma? Yeah, neither have I. We also have some good friends of ours here to join us. The Slusters came over from Lancaster all the way over. Wonderful. Thank you for coming. And so we're excited being here, just traveling out on the road. I'm telling you, it's such an honor having my family with me. They don't always travel on all the trips, but the boys have been on a fair amount of trips. I think together I added it up. They've been on 108 flights, I think, together when you combine it. Nathan's been in like 27, 28 states. So they love traveling. They love coming to a church. They love running the pews, running the chairs. I got to keep them off the stage. Last night they were like, Dad, we want to preach. We want to say something. And then typically what happens is when it comes time to actually say something, they kind of get a little nervous. But they love the swimming pools. They love just everything. They really enjoy meeting people. I'm honored to have them, you know, because I started out when I was single, just traveling by myself, looking for the plan of God, right? Have you ever been there before where kind of where you are is not quite what you had imagined, right? And I remember after a couple of years just clearing out the front seat. You know what I mean by that? Just cleaned everything out because I was making ready. I couldn't see her, right? But I knew someday somebody was going to join me. And I tell you, God has been so good to me. But I was single, you know, for 10 years traveling. Can you imagine being single, traveling into churches? Oh, man. People always want to know, well, how come you're single? You know, as I progressed, got my way up to 40, then people kind of bumped it up in the conversation. Sometimes it got a little awkward, you know? It started out just like a tag on at the end. So, you ever going to get married? And then before I'm 40, people just blurted out in the very beginning, you know? I remember seeing a guy that I knew at a restaurant. Hadn't seen him about 15 years. I said, hey, how are you? And he just came right out with it. So, do you think you're ever going to get married? Usually we talk about the weather, you know? How about that big sun out there? No, you just want to get right to the hopes and dreams right from the beginning, don't you? We had a guy that was on our board, and I remember early in my 30s, we had a board meeting, and afterwards he said to me, he said, well, do you want to get married? I said, well, yes, sir. He told me, he said, well, at your age, you know, that's a phrase that you never want to hear, right? Doesn't matter, you know, my one son is 4. He doesn't want to hear, you know, at your age, right? The 6-year-old doesn't want to hear at your age, right? You're 18, 19, 20, right? 70, 80, you never want to hear somebody say, you know, at your age. But what he told me, he said, well, at your age, you're going to find somebody, but there's probably going to be something wrong with her. Wow. Oh, what do? We grab hands over that prayer and just agree with that? Amen in Jesus' name. I remember going back and asking the Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? And I'm telling you, he brought the most amazing girl into my life. Oh, she is just what I needed. There's nothing wrong with her. Come on, I waited. I got married in my 40s, right? I didn't get second best, third best, fourth best. Come on, God is a God. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's a rebuilder. It doesn't matter what you faced up to this point. Oh, man, he has something great for you. Right here, he has something great. Oh, you're going to like the plan of God. There's some things that have been prepared for you, and you're going to walk them out, and you're going to see them. How long have you been coming to church here? Yeah. He brought you right here. Brought you right here to help you find that plant. It's good. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. I can see something about you. What is your name? Deontay. Good things ahead. Good days ahead. Good days ahead. Good days ahead, man. Hallelujah. He's a restorer. He's a rebuilder. Oh, can you tell it? Can I tell you how excited I am to bring my boys back home to Pennsylvania? Yeah, come on, let's turn in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You have your Bibles with you? Do you have a phone with you? What do you have? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Come on, let's just pray before we get started. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for what you have already been doing this morning. Thank you for the vision that has come forth out of this place and that it continues. The vision that was called out and prayed out and spoken out is still alive and it still comes to pass. So we thank you that this place is a light, a place of restoration, a place of healing called by God right to this very community. Father God, it's an honor, a privilege. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. You anoint us to teach, anoint us to hear. Thank you for a revelation, not just information, but a revelation. We thank you for it. We ask that Jesus would be the most seen, the most glorified, the most exalted. Thank you for Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. Thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on, aren't you glad when you got born again, God didn't use duct tape to put you back together? Says Jesus said in Revelation, he said, behold, I make all things new. Come on, God wants to do something new. He wants to do something different. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. You're not even the same person. Behold, all things are become new. God is in the business of doing something new. He's in the business of doing something new and big and different. Have you read oh, here's my wife. Hello, babe. You want to come up and say hi, or you want to say hi later? I'm doing great. Hallelujah. You ever read that chapter in Hebrews 11? We kind of call it a Hall of Fame chapter about faith. The writer of Hebrews begins to tell stories. Here's what happened to Abraham. Here's what happened to Sarah. Here's what happened to Noah. It talks about David. Do you realize all those stories it was Noah's first ark? Man, it was something big too, right? Isaac was the first son. Man, I do all things new. God is not finished with you yet. He is not done. He's got something. Come on, he always goes to bigger and better, from glory to glory. If you're alive, come on, you qualify for God to keep using you. There's not a bench. We don't have bench warmers in the kingdom of God. Right? Church is not a spectator sport. There's something for you to do. If you have breath, right, there's something he wants you to do, right? Goes on to say there in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, 18, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself, Right? We've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So in the beginning there, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ declared his vision. He said, I'm going to build my church. And so we know in Colossians 3, he said that it's through the church that the wisdom of God will be made known. And now he called you and I, we are the ministers. We are all the ministers, right? So many times, I think sometimes in the church, we've kind of begun to relegate things off to the pastor. We expect the pastor and the staff to do everything. But actually, in the kingdom of God, it's vital that you come in and do something and get involved and be a part of what God is doing. See, you actually have influence in your world that the pastor doesn't quite have. You meet people. You are a minister. Come on, say it with me. Say, I am a minister. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, you are a minister. Right? So we need every single person. And then to support you as a minister, God has established the local church. But we are the ministers. And so the purpose of the church, come on, is to equip you, right? For you to go out into your world. Did you get something from the worship this morning? Man, I really enjoyed that. I particularly enjoyed just the time when he was playing, just allowing. That was great. That was great. You have a fantastic gift. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Really enjoy the worship. Boy, for a bit there, I felt like we could have just kept on singing. Anybody feel that way? Let's just keep singing. You ever want that sometimes on a Sunday? Let's just keep singing. Because we got something. We came into the presence of God, and I loved how the songs were about worship, worshiping God, right? And so the purpose of that is to equip you. So now you're going out those doors, out the downstairs door. You're going out there. Oh, man, the Spirit of God wants to use you in your home. Use you on your street. You know, we just kind of took it personal with this interesting phenomenon that the world has been in the last 15 months, right? We just took it personal. Okay, this is our street. We live on a little cul-de-sac there, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It's on everybody staying home, right? I didn't travel. I usually fly, 40, 50 times a year. I didn't have any flights for 6 months, right? But I'm a minister. We just kept on ministering, right? So I don't know what you have, but you know what I have at home is a gas-powered stick edger. Yeah, I worked at a church years ago, started out on grounds, learned how to use an edger, right? And I was like, man, I like this. So I went out and bought one. And so for the last 25 years, I have been using my edger to help other people. So last summer, I wound up edging the yards of about a dozen homes in our neighborhood. Right? That's what I had to get into their world, right? And I kind of considered myself to be, I'm the pastor of this street. I don't know if any of them go to church, right? But these are my people, right? None of them know my pastor, the church I go to, but I know them all. So I'm out there edging. And it reminded me back in the day, right? So I graduated from Bible school, and I'm ready to preach. And the church called me up and said, we want you to come work for us. Yeah, come on, I had a dream, right? Called to the ministry when I was 6 years old. Went to Bible school, I'm ready to preach. I could see myself preaching. But the church called me up and said, we want you to come cut the grass. That was not the dream. That was not the vision. Come on, sometimes the finish line looks different than what you see inside. What I love about the local church, right? You're going to get a little bit of the local church this morning. Why? Because this is what I have been doing my entire life. I've been traveling for 20 years encouraging people, find the plan of God. How do you find it? Come to the local church. It is one way. It's not the only place, but it is a great place. Find somebody with a vision and just help them. And so now I cut the grass, planted flowers, learned how to do it, pulling weeds, had to figure out which one's the weeds, which one's the flowers. Picking up trash, right? I remember picking up trash. So the church is a large campus, 110 acres, 25 buildings, right? And so there's 15 of us on the grounds crew working 40 hours a week. All we're doing is cutting the grass. You have a lot of time to think. So I chose at times to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Got the whir of the engine. sitting on a lawnmower, right? I remember one time they told us, we need somebody to go clean the trash in the ball fields. Well, that's far away. We had these little carts. There's three baseball fields. And I did one, I did two, and I thought to myself, I think that's good enough. Come on, have you ever been there before? And I'm driving back, and the Holy Spirit says to me, well, what about that last field? Nobody goes out there. I don't know if you know that. And then he said, I go out there. Yes, sir. So I turned the cart around, all right? There's 15 people on the crew, and I'm the only one out there doing it. Come on, have you ever been there before? Feel like you're the only one serving God? But I would just pray in the Holy Ghost, waiting for, when do I get it? He was waiting on me. I thought I was waiting on him. And so I worked there for 8.5 years, working behind the scenes. And then after 8.5 years, I started traveling on the ministry. And now for 20 years, I've been using all those stories, right, when I was working there. So last summer, I'm out there with the whir of the engine edging, and come on, I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. And see, what's great about that is it gives me an excuse to kind of get into their world. And they don't know it, but I'm praying for these people while I'm out there edging. Spirit of God will begin to show you, lead you in one way to pray. Pray for them this way. Pray for them that way. And we just started to hear some amazing stories, some real trouble that the people have been going through. My wife is great. You know, she's not interested in edging their yard, right? But she's like getting a gift, right? Somebody across the street had a baby. She knows what to do, right? She knows what to buy. Yeah, you don't want a man showing up, I got you some diapers for your kids, you know? But, oh, it's great coming from her, right? And so we just tag team it. And I'm telling you, it was so excited when the guy across the street came home one time, and I just had cut his grass for him, you know? He just had a baby, and I thought, well, if I spend 20 minutes cutting the front, that's an extra 20 minutes this dad will have with his son. And so he yelled across the street. He said, hey, I came home and my grass was cut. He said, and there's only one guy I know that would have done it. I said, well, guilty as charged. Come on, I'm a minister right where I am. Who do you have? Who is your world? What do you have? Maybe you work on the computer. Maybe you have maybe you're great with brownies or pies. Cup of coffee. Come on, you have something. Come on, that boy showed up one day. He was just hanging out to go see Jesus. His mom packed a lunch for him, right? Come on, the mom did not know she's about to feed 5,000 people. Come on, the Spirit of God doesn't always tell you what. Aren't you glad sometimes he doesn't let you know the whole story, right? Imagine the Holy Spirit telling that mom, hey, by the way, tomorrow you're feeding 5,000 people for lunch. Oh, my goodness, right? She probably would have slaved all night, but no, she just gave the one boy the lunch, and he shows up. Somebody had faith somewhere to recognize, we need some food. Who's got some food? And the boy presents his lunch. Come on, and come on. The master can use whatever you have. He multiplies it. Too many times we're waiting to go make food for 5,000, and he's just saying, what do you have right now? I can use it today. Getting involved in the kingdom of God, the plan of your life. You don't learn everything first. You learn as you go. You just offer your time, dedicate your time. So when he spoke to me about traveling, I specifically had a picture. I saw myself loading luggage in the trunk. I saw myself teaching. I know what it was. But I went ahead and asked. Have you ever asked questions of God when you feel like he kind of wants you to do something? Surely not you guys. Just me, right? Well, how long am I going to travel? Where would I go? And what would be my message? Never got answers on those. After traveling for about a year, I heard myself say, I've been traveling for 5 years now. So I knew I was going to travel for at least 5. And that was 15 years ago. But you just offer what you have. This is who I am. This is what I have. He knows exactly who you are, what you have. He's just waiting on you to offer it up. So this is what I have been doing for the last 35 years of my life. And I've been working behind the scenes, right? So I travel. I do conferences and workshops about building teams. Come on, the Spirit of God is building bigger teams today in the church. This is what he's doing. the team's not big enough. So we need more people to come along. But the great thing is that he's got plenty of people in the world. Almost 8 billion. Right? That's a great resource that he has. And so I just started out just doing what I could. But while I was just praying in the Holy Ghost, come on, I didn't know it, but he just kept preparing the way, preparing the next steps, preparing the next steps. And so I've just been doing all kinds of things. I volunteered in the youth department for 11 years. 11 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days. Who's keeping track? All right, I worked at this ministry 8 years, 4 months, and 20 days. I just like numbers. I had the opportunity right there in the youth department. For me, the beginning of a year and a half is like so much fun. And after a year and a half, kind of the novelty kind of wears off, right? Had wonderful opportunities to get offended and want to quit. Great opportunities to offend other people to get them to want to quit. Come on now. And just being faithful, just to how can I help you? What can I do? And in the middle of that, then the Spirit of God had, here's what I want you to do. And so this is what we've been doing for 20 years. Traveling the world, encouraging people. Come on, find the plan of God for your life. One step, an easy step, a great step. Come on, is to connect here. All right? We saw a slide earlier, cutting the grass. Here at the church. Come on, when you get involved in the kingdom of God, you're not just cutting the grass, right? You've got the opportunity for the Spirit of God to move through you, to use you. Remember, you are a minister, but in support of the minister, he's established the ministry gifts. Pastor D is a gift to this church. Pastor Sherry, a gift to this church. Right? Let's keep our finger there. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at this a little bit. In Ephesians 4, Paul sets out also about how Jesus Christ set up the church, gave gifts unto men. So we read in verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, why did he give the gifts? For the perfecting of the saints. Come on, so there's information that you need. There's teaching that you need. Now that you've become born again, right, it's not just enough to say, well, I know Jesus, I'm going to heaven. No, there's something that you do. And again, our gospel is a relational gospel, but it also requires you to do something, to get involved in the lives of other people. And so when it says in verse 12, the gifts have been given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Come on, when you look this up in the Greek, it's actually doing something, right? I've done all kinds of things. One reason why I'm up here teaching today is because I've done thousands of things you have no idea about. I've worked behind the scenes there in the youth department, right? Remember, I knew I was called to the ministry when I was 6 years old, and so during the youth service, that I sensed that anointing come, but it's not my turn to teach. It's my turn to go check the bathrooms in the back hallway. I had 175 junior high kids in the youth department there. I was there in junior high. I highly recommend, if you got that many junior high kids, keep an eye on the bathroom. Somebody's trying a science experiment, you know? Got to make sure that they're not stopped up. Somebody didn't put a bunch of towels in there and just didn't turn off the water, right? You always got to check it out. Always got to keep on going. But I sense that anointing, right? I've done all kinds of things behind the scenes, right? And that's when the Spirit of God has helped me. Oh, you got to do it with the right attitude, right? It doesn't count if you just keep complaining the whole time. How come? Why do I have to do this? Why am I? I remember doing a garage sale and just complaining. Have you ever been there before? We had a youth garage sale where people in the church donate items to the youth, and then we fix them up. I don't even like garage sales. Right? My idea is you've had this for a while, and you don't want it. Well, I'm going to take your word for it. I probably don't want it either. But this is what we're doing. And so, come on, the Spirit of God had already told me, whatever they're doing, you do it. You just jump in. So I showed up every service. I'm showing up to a garage sale with gloves on. I don't even want to touch this stuff. And I understand that there are some people that love garage sales, so I'm staying away so you can get all the good stuff. But in the middle of this garage sale, I put a truck out, you know, before service on a Sunday morning. Put a truck out, you know, before service on Sunday night. Put the truck out on Wednesday night. And after a couple of years, I'm doing all the work. Now I've got 75 other volunteers, right? And I remember one morning in particular, it was kind of warm. All right, this is back in the day when we wore suits and ties to church. Anybody remember those days? Yeah, it's almost 25 years ago. So I'm in my nice Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and it's getting warm, and the truck is full, and I figure, well, I better empty this before service, you know. I'm by myself, and I remember just walking back and forth from the truck. Oh, man, now my clothes are getting dirty. My hair's messed up, and come on, the enemy just kind of jumps in with you right there. Have you ever found that out? You start to complain, man, he just helps you with that picture, and that picture begins to grow. It's like a little movie theater on the inside. I remember complaining, where's my friends? Oh, I know where they are. They're in the air conditioning. That's where they are. Oh, they're probably singing all the songs. They probably have a great seat. Now I'm going to be sitting in the back. And I remember just mumbling to myself, I'm doing this for Jesus. But it'd be nice if I got just a little bit of credit, right? Isn't that kind of how we are? I don't mind serving, but I just want somebody to recognize what I'm doing. Come on, in the kingdom of God, he specializes in promoting people seemingly out of nowhere. Where was David? 1 Samuel 17, the day Samuel came to visit his family. The entire family lines up before the greatest man in Israel, and your family didn't call you. Anybody here, you're the youngest? Where's the youngest? I'm the youngest, right? They don't give the best jobs to the youngest. We get stuff when it's passed over and, you know, it's torn, it's got holes in it. Samuel is there in the house, and they leave David out there with the sheep. And we actually read a couple of chapters later, oldest brother Eliab's like, where are you and those few sheep, right? Even putting him down even more. We don't even have a whole lot of sheep. We've only got a couple, and that's still your job. But Samuel, come on, knew this. I think this is the one. Samuel told him, come on, go get him. We will not sit down until he comes. Do you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? End of Genesis. Joseph found himself in prison. He woke up one morning. That's the day he was promoted. Come on, it doesn't matter if anybody sees what you're doing. It doesn't matter if anybody knows what you put into this. You can serve anywhere. This is why you can cut the grass for the kingdom of God. This is why you can work with the children. You can work behind the scenes. What do you like to do? We need you. October 31st, 6 to 8 p.m., we got a hallelujah party. And I can guarantee you we're going to need a little help beforehand, and we're going to need a little help afterwards. I already know that. Haven't been in this church in a handful of years, but I already know the plan. I already know what's going on. Come on, it's an amazing opportunity for you to get in into a vest. Come on, because you're not just cutting the grass. You're not just working with the kids. Come on, you're investing in the kingdom of God. Because here's what's going to happen at that hallelujah party. You know what's going to happen? The Spirit of God is going to show up while we're passing out candy. There's going to be a new family that comes. And as soon as they walk into this place, they're going to say, this place is different. And he might say, you know what? You know that problem I had in my back? Man, as soon as I walked in there, man, it just kind of loosened up. And they're going to wonder if that was a coincidence. And the kids are going to say, that was so much fun. Can we go back to that one place with the candy? Come on, the Spirit of God is drawing them in. It's going to change the trajectory of that child's entire life. They're coming to the party on the 31st, and it's going to completely change who they marry someday. It's going to completely change. They're going to come to a class. They're going to learn about Jesus Christ, and the child is going to sing a song. And it's going to change the tone in the family. And the Spirit of God is going to work on that, come on, the relationship between the husband and wife. and they're going to see each other different one day. Come on, this is what he does. He's in the business of restoring and rebuilding. Do you realize that the first miracle occurred at a wedding? Come on, but this is how the Spirit of God is putting his stamp of approval on strong marriages, strong relationships, right? If I'd have been on the committee to send Jesus to the earth, I don't think there even was such a thing. What would you have voted for the first miracle? I might have picked like raising somebody from the dead. Doesn't that sound like fun? Let's do raising from the dead. Let's make it a child. Let's get everybody's attention. But the Spirit of God says it's going to be at a wedding. I'm going to touch that marriage. That was the first sign, Apostle John said. And in fact, if you go ahead and read the story, the second part of that feast was better than the first. Come on, the Holy Spirit is telling you, man, the first part of the marriage is great, but the second part can be even richer, even better. He can touch any marriage at any point. We're just kind of following up on the word that she had this morning. This is what he does. This is who he is. Somebody's coming on the 31st. So it's going to take some work. We're going to have to pack the candy. Somebody's going to have to run the games, play the games. But we know, come on, we're on the inside. We're the family. We know there's something greater happening than just playing games. There's a family about to be transformed. We're asking you to come be a part of that. We're asking you to come cut the grass. Somebody's going to ride by and say, man, that looks sharp. That looks nice. I have heard of people, their heart was transformed when they walked in because they saw the plants, they saw the flowers, and they said, man, there's something different about this place. Before the message even came, their heart was ready to receive from God. Right? So, the ministry gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, last part, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right, that word in the Greek is architecture, edifying. Come on, there's a place for you. And it's all of us working together, all of us contributing, all of us helping define. You know, when I started out there in the youth department, I was 22. Man, I'm ready to rule the world. My name's David Fleming, and I'm here to help. What can you do? I don't know. But I can do something. And so my story is it's been in these opportunities of serving where the gifts and talents began to come out of me on the inside. All right, so there was 14 of us in the beginning working on this garage sale. And they would just call things out. Man, you do really good in this. See, sometimes when you're by yourself, you don't realize you have a gift. You just think you're good at it. You just think maybe everyone's good at that. But when you present your gift and bring it in here, we realize, man, I love that singing. Right? I got three older sisters. They all sing. Right? They all play the piano. And it wasn't always appreciated at home, right? Singing again, playing the piano again, right? I remember years ago, had an older sister who was part of, piano lessons. So at the end, they had this big recital, and she got an award at the end for the most practice time. We are all testimony to that one. Is that what you were playing all that for, over and over and over? Right? Maybe you're great at fixing food, preparing food. You just know the order. Anybody is great at preparing a meal and everything's hot at the same time? Come on, there's got to be people in here that are great at that, right? Yeah, everything's hot. Man, come on, that's a gift, right? Not everybody can do that. We always manage to burn the rolls every year, my family. Going on 25 years, somebody forgets the rolls. I think we have too many people in charge of the rolls, right? It's kind of an afterthought. But man, at your home, it may or may not be appreciated, but you bring that gift here into the local church, and it allows people. So we need people coming through this door, right? Come on, the world is calling out for someone to recognize something great on the inside of them. That's what we provide as the church. We've got an opportunity for you to be faithful, to get promoted. Right? God is the promoter, but here in the local church, we've got all kinds of opportunities. Come on, if you'll come in and be faithful and show up when it's your turn, show up happy, come on, excited. I remember at times, volunteering in the youth department, kind of getting out of sync. You ever been there before? You start complaining, oh, why are we doing it that way? Why are we doing it this way? Surely not you guys, just me, just complaining, right? But it gives you that opportunity to keep your attitude right. Because do you realize how different we are on purpose? Many times out on the road, what I've enjoyed doing when I come to a new town is I'll go to the local grocery store, you know, whether it's a Walmart or a Publix or a Giant Eagle. Many times, almost all the time, 99% of the time, when you go to the grocery store, it gives you a good indication of what you're about to see the next morning in church. And yet, when we're shopping, and we've got so many people that shop differently, do different things, you know. Where's the people that go in every couple of days? Anybody like to shop every couple of days? You keep going back there, keep going back there. Sometimes I find myself going in, I just got to get one thing, right? And then by the year, it's like full. I think they ought to put some carts or something like two-thirds of the way back. Sometimes for those of us that didn't plan on getting everything. Or I remember when I was single living in Tulsa, I got tired of going to the grocery store twice a week. So I just go once a month, just getting everything. The cart is full, you know. So I realized I want the cart to be full at the front. So I came up with a list. Who has a list when they shop? My list was coordinated with the layout of the store. Right, so the number one thing I got was far, right? Because the cart is full. Yeah, you know what I'm doing. That way, when the cart is full, hey, I'm right here at the front and I can check out. But I'm shopping and I see people with a full cart. You're at the back. And I'm thinking to myself, you did not think this through. We're all different here in the church. There's a place for everybody, right? And then you come up to the front and you check out, right? And there's that sign that says, this lane, 20 items or less. Now, how many people count your items? Right? A handful of people, right? I come from a long line of engineers. We count items. We count other people's items. Come on. Who counts somebody else's items? You ever been there before? Yeah, yeah. I remember at the grocery store with a friend, I'm counting it up, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. My friend's like, what are you doing? Oh. Counting my items. I want to see if I qualify for this line. They said, oh, you don't have to do that. What? You don't understand. My family might be here. Got a relative, a distant relative, actually one time at the store. A gentleman in front of him had too many items. So this family member went to the conveyor belt and removed the items. Put them back in the man's basket. The man said, what are you doing? He said, well, you have too many items for this line. Myself and the people behind you who have the correct number, I guess he counted like everybody coming up there. We are going ahead of you. You don't understand. My family might be here. We have to qualify. We are all different. And then there's the people that take the cart out to the parking lot. Come on, where's the people that return the cart, right? There are a group of people that don't know what to do. It's almost like a temporary amnesia. The cart is there. I don't know where I got this from. I think I'm just going to, they just leave it right there, right? And we come into the church and we find the same exact thing. People are different in the church, right? A group of people that say, well, why are we meeting at 10:30? I think we should meet at 9:30, right? There's a group of people that got up early this morning, right? Got up at 5, got up at 6. Right? This is like the middle of the day for you. Right? And then there's others of us that needed an alarm to get here before 10:30. These people say, well, how come the chairs are blue? How come we're facing that way? I think we should face the other way. I think we should put curtains on the windows. Why are we singing so many songs? I think we're singing too many songs. I think it's too loud. I think it's not loud enough. How come they're preaching? Why do they always sit there? The Spirit of God puts us all together, and he tells us in Romans 12, as much as it lies within you, live at peace with all men. Do you know how different we are? Yes, on purpose. And it's this group that he brings together. If we continue reading in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go down to verse 15, verse 16. We're all connected to the head. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Come on, because we're all so different. We're all so different. Come on, he qualifies us. Speak the truth in love. I want you to say the truth, but you got to figure out a way to say it in love. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up. Everybody say grow up. grow up into him in all things, who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, come on, everybody say, I'm a part. Say it again. Say, I am a part. The whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part. Everybody say, every part. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, we need you. Come on, turn to your other neighbor. Say, we really need you. Every part does its share. What's the conclusion? This causes the growth of the body for edifying itself. Again, there it is, in love, bookmarked in the beginning and in the end. Come on, many times out on the road for the last 20 years, when I get to this point about working with people, I unofficially title it Messing with People. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Messing with people, right? And so we volunteer. You know, I told you after a year and a half, then the kind of novelty wears off. And then sometimes we just get, offended with people. And we've moved on, right? And so we use these Bible phrases. I believe that, you know, the grace has lifted. I believe God is calling me on. And the truth of it is sometimes we just couldn't get along with people. Whoops. Right? And so that's why Paul says, come on, we are different, right? And so we have to get past that point of saying, man, they're different, and being irritated by it. Why are they going to do that again? Right? Because, come on, when you get irritated by that, now you're ready. I'm ready for them to do that thing that I can't stand. Here they go. I knew they were going to do it. I knew it. But Paul says, man, I want you to get past that. I want you to realize that you're different on purpose, right? Come on, the great thing about being on a team is you don't have to do everything. Somebody's going to step in. When you're on a team, somebody gets to step in and do something that they're really good at. Someone else gets to shine. My mother had a big monumental birthday a couple years ago. And so I work with her in the ministry, so it kind of fell to us to plan this big birthday. So we talked at our house for a couple hours with her and just kind of pulled out, what should we do? How do we do this? You know? So we came up with, we're going to have like a family dinner at our house, and then we're going to have another lunch dinner somewhere else. And then on Sunday, we're going to have an open house at my sister's house. And then we're going to invite all her friends and stuff like that. And then at this point, you know, I let the sisters know, here's what we're doing. Dinner at my house. Sunday is a open house. Now, this is when I stepped back, right? I'm on a team. I love being on a team. Had a part, and then there's a part where you step back and let somebody else do it. Because trust me, if I am planning the open house, we're doing pizza. We're going to have football, right? It's in October. We're watching football, right? She's turning 80, bringing all her friends over. Yeah, pizza, soda, watching football. That's the open house, right? No, but I knew to step back, and those three girls come up with some frilly, froofy event. I don't even know what kind of desserts. They said it was desserts, but it's nothing I recognized. And having a tea, right? And there's lace, and they thought it was beautiful. Evidently, it was like really nice. All right, come on. There's the great thing about being on the team is there's a part that you play, right? So come on, I need you to come in and get involved with the team. We may not need you every time, but I need you to stay here, right? Stay on the team. There's a time when other people shine. That's okay. There's a time when you are exactly what we need. And so Paul says that when we all bring something, do something, get involved, he said, we all grow. I grow because of what you invest in me. You grow because of what I bring. And then this group grows. So we're working on doing some filming. Just kind of the basics of serving. We're scheduled to go down to Florida and kind of video, get some things out on video. But it's with a group, one couple that I started working with years ago, not quite 30 years ago. It just kind of seemed good to volunteer in the youth. They actually turned me down a couple of times. Do you know who I am? I'm David Fleming. But in that season of waiting about a year to get involved, man, I got my attitude right. There's a couple that I met 18th of September, 1993. That was a Saturday. You guys remember that, don't you? Met my friends there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, that'd be central daylight time. Had no idea the investment that that couple would make in my life for the next 28 years. The Spirit of God uses the illustration of seeds and sowing and reaping. And so we understand that there are seeds that you sow, you get a one-time harvest. But there's also seeds that you sow that grow up and you get a harvest year after year after year after year. There were times I would have told you, I felt like maybe it was just me. I wanted to go volunteer in the youth department. Had no idea. Spirit of God was leading me. Just seemed good. He said, be faithful, show up every single time. So I showed up to the garage sale every year. And something began to grow on the inside of me, develop on the inside of me. And then those friendships, come on, there's friendships, there's connections that you make. He doesn't always tell you in the beginning, this is why. It just kind of nudges you. So what you do is you follow life. It just seemed good to make a plate of brownies. It just seemed good to take the edger out and go help somebody. It just seemed good to call somebody up. What do you have? Follow life. The Spirit of God wants to use you. Something powerful that he does. He restores, he rebuilds. Come on, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so God wants to use this place. I still sense that. Just there's life coming out of this place. There's a restoration coming out of this place. And so congratulations to you two. A restoration. And it's also, though, a picture of the team. He's a picture of the team that's coming. You are a picture of that. More people coming. More people are going to come and join you guys. They're going to look like you. They're going to look different from you. They're going to have different experiences. But the Spirit of God is building teams. And he's going to do the same thing. He's going to reveal Jesus to them. He's going to change their story. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. See, this is what he's done in my life. He's changed my whole story. So now I'm known as Papa. Right? When I was a teenager, though, my father passed away. I was a young man. Right? He got sick, and it just kind of came on suddenly. And so for 20 years, I had that identity. I felt I had that identity that I was a young man whose father passed away. You know, sometimes in that first year, the first couple years, you have to tell people. It's kind of an awkward thing. And after a couple years, you just get tired of telling the story. You know, my dad died. You know, don't have a dad. It's a real conversation killer. You feel the first couple years, you feel like when you walk in, it just kind of kills the whole party. Everybody was having fun till you showed up. You ever been there before? And it's like every year, you know. I remember coming around to that anniversary. Here we go again. This was the month when my dad died. And so after a while, you stop telling people. But you kind of keep that reputation on the inside, that identity on the inside. Come on, he wants to do something new in your life, even today, even this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, come up and join me. Something you can play for us. Right, so after a while, you kind of keep that to yourself. Right? But you got that identity. You think this is who you are, but the Spirit of God wants to touch your life and do something completely new, something completely different. You see, we don't serve out of duty or because we have to. We're not trying to earn. Right? We're not using guilt here to get anybody involved, right? We're not leaving until we get 10 volunteers. Ushers, lock the doors. No, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Man, we serve because he's been so good to us. Oh, through Jesus Christ, he's been good to us. Jesus did it, right? He paved the way, and so every time I come before him, I don't come in with what I've been doing. Father God, I come to you. Jesus got it right. he has invited me in. I grew up in church, right? I've been in church 3 times a week, longer than I can remember. You know, my mother took me to all kinds of Bible studies. So I grew up in that era there in the charismatic renewal up in Pittsburgh. So I remember riding in the car. This has been a great week of me of just remembrances. You know, back in the day, we didn't have car seats. I could stand up in the back seats. I could ride all over the place. And she'd listen to Catherine Kuhlman on the radio, right? So as a 4-year-old, as a 5-year-old, that scared me. Such a unique voice, you know? But my mother took me to all kinds of Bible studies. But there is something, though. There's a revelation that you have to have of the goodness of God. God's been good to you. He has restored you. You know, it's one thing when we say God loves us, God loves people. But when you realize, there's a revelation, you realize God knows my name. The Master, King of Kings. He knows your name. And I remember just getting a revelation the last Monday in September 2011. I was on Highway 49 in Ohio. It's about 9:15 at night, headed to my friend's house, just listening to another message. Come on, there's something great about the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God just keep speaking to you through the Word. It's the Word of God, specifically about Jesus. You want to keep reading about Jesus. Jesus Christ. Read about how he healed people. Everywhere he went, he healed. Read about how he gave his own blood. Great songs this morning. If you don't have those songs, find them. Download them. Come on, put them on your phone. I've got a bunch of songs about the goodness of God. I love them. Just in Ephesians chapter 1, how he raised us up together. And I remember it's the 50th time I heard that message. 50. And I heard something I'd never heard before. What was I doing the first 49 times? It's the way revelation works. The love of God is so great for you, you can't comprehend it with your mind. It's got to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. And when he reveals it, you come alive and you say, man, I think I'm seeing something I've never seen before. Do you got a friend that you can call when you get a revelation like that? You need a couple friends. Hey, I'm seeing something. I've heard this verse many times, but I think I'm seeing something new. And I realized, come on, when he raised Jesus up, he raised me with him. And I realized, God, you've been good to me. You have been so good. Come on, that's not what I had been saying for the last 20 years. There's times I wondered if he'd been good to me. Sometimes I wasn't quite sure. That's the original temptation of the enemy, lying to Eve. Are you sure God's been good to you? He's trying to convince you that God has withheld something from you. But Scripture tells us he gave you Jesus. That's the greatest thing. If he gave you Jesus, he's given you everything else. And I'm telling you, I saw the goodness of God so different. So he changed me. Do you remember, let's go back to Joseph. Do you remember Joseph had 2 boys there? Manasseh and Ephraim. The first one, Manasseh's named, caused me to forget. That's what happened to me. I got such a picture of Jesus that I sailed through that anniversary date. The next year, my father passing away. Completely forgot about it. Oh, that's what he does. He heals you. Takes the weight of that off of you. Takes the sting of that. Come on, did you make the mistake? Was it you? Was it your fault? Was it somebody else's fault? It doesn't matter. Takes the weight of it away. And then his next son came. He named him Ephraim. He's blessed me in the land. So you saw my 2 boys. Come on, God takes orphans. He turns them into sons and daughters. And then he turns sons and daughters into mothers and fathers. So do you want to guess the same month when my first son was born? Same month my father passed away. my son, ha, ha. So for 20 years, right, the month that I avoided, here we come. That was the month my first son is born. He redeemed my story. He restored my story over and above, so much richer, so much greater. So now for the rest of my life, guess what I'm doing in the month of April? I'm planning birthday parties. In fact, we don't wait till April to do them, right? We're like 6 months out. I think I heard this week him saying something about my next birthday. We're actually looking forward to the month of April. This is what Jesus Christ can do for you. Come on, if this is not your story yet, hold on. Your story is not finished. Your story is not yet finished. Come on, there's something great that he wants to do. He redeem, restore, rebuild. So people are going to come in. You might be serving behind the scenes. While you're cleaning, the Spirit of God may say, share your story of redemption. Yeah, see, the Spirit of God wants to keep hearing it too. You need to keep telling your story, what Jesus did for you. We need to keep hearing it. So while I work behind the scenes, right, I'm a traveling minister, but I still find opportunities to volunteer and to serve and to work all over. While I'm working, I'm listening. Come on, can I share my story with somebody? So I'm at summer camp a few years back. Spirit of God says, hey, your buddy here, he needs to know your story. So I called him up a month after camp. I said, hey, I want to just tell you what Jesus did for me. And I gave him 10 minutes, what Jesus did for me on the cross, and more than repairs. Oh, and I had no idea. My friend begins to share with me. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something only three people know, but that last night of camp, as an adult, he responded to the altar call. You need to give something up. Something's been in the way. He began to tell me the story. He said, 30 years ago when I was a teenager, my parents were going through a tough time, and the guy up the street started to molest me. Molested me for a year and a half. And he said, for 30 years, it stayed with me. Every single day, it bugged me. He says, and I gave it up at camp. He says, but what you're telling me, though, is the next step, that what Jesus did for me. So for the next 90 minutes, I'm on the phone with my friend, and he's laughing and crying. Come on, have you ever done that? Laugh and cry at the same time? Laughing and crying at the same time because the goodness of God completely changed his story. He actually had the opportunity to share his testimony in the youth service a year later. Five or six people come up to him afterward and say, I needed to hear that. Come on, people need to hear your story. They need to hear it. You are a minister of reconciliation. You have a message. What's our message? It's Jesus Christ. When you go out today, come on, you need to tell somebody your story. Somebody in your world needs to hear it. While I'm serving, I'm ready with my story. I'm working hard, right? Got to clean, got to work behind the scenes. You work on the computer. What is it that you do? Do you write? Do you work with people? Do you have ideas? Come on, we need you. We need every single person. Come on, he is a restorer. He is a rebuilder. This community needs what you guys have right here. And so we just agree he's going to build a team, make it bigger, make it stronger. We just speak a strengthening on Pastor D. She's finishing up vacation. Thank you for just an equipping, a revelation. Clarity, clearer vision, stronger. Oh, we speak strength to her and peace to her. Father God, we're asking you to bring the right people alongside to help. We speak courage to those people, courage to come. Come, come to hear, to follow that nudge, to follow that leading, to follow that life. Father God, we just speak life as the people walk through the doors. Life, 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 healing as soon as they walk in, healing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So what I hear is quickening. There's a quickening to the pace. There's a quickening to the pace. Does that agree with you? There's a quickening to the pace. What used to take 5 years to pull it off will take much less time. What used to take 2 years is going to take less time. There's a quickening, a quickening, a quickening. Hallelujah. Come on, do you have a song for us? You have a song to sing? How about Nothing Else Will Do? You got to switch gears? Come on, this is a day and age where we dedicate our time, our talents, our resources. Father God, what would you have us to do? What do you have for us? I just sense this morning it's a time for us to bring, Father God, here's everything we have. What do we have? What would you have us to do? Come on, is that the cry of somebody's heart here today? Father God, what can we do for you? He's doing something different in the church. There's more purpose. More deliberate. What would you have us to do? Come on, why don't you stand with me? Let's just sing. Hallelujah. While they keep playing, let me ask anybody in here, ask you for, you say, man, I'd like prayer. Anybody in here, you have one of those dates that I had before. Man, something happened to you, and it feels like it just kind of keeps nagging you, keeps coming back up. And you want a fresh start, you want something new. Anybody in here, man, I just invite you to come down. I'm just going to lay hands on you and just pray for you. Anybody at all? anybody at all. Hallelujah. And while you guys are coming, I'm going to pray for this couple here. Yeah, just line up right here in the front. I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. I'm glad you came down. I saw myself praying for you guys. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Come join me. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we just thank you. Thank you for the vision. Hallelujah. That's grown on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You heard. The call went out to many, but you heard and you responded. Hallelujah. There's like a first responder's blessing. Quick to hear blessing. Quick to obey blessing. And the picture of restoration. Hallelujah. The picture of healing. Hallelujah. The picture of strength. Hallelujah. Thank you for the gift on the inside of him. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the gift on the inside of him. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Healing comes as you use your gift. Healing goes forth. A clarity, an understanding, oh, comes out, comes forth. So we just thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done here and the two of them. Thank you for a quickening here, a strengthening here. Oh, we thank you for it. Zorat la hazanya te de dira zanya to loho voramata te zanya jade lida zana torate. Well, so others have prayed and you'll begin to walk that out. Others have called forth and you're the one to see it. Ha ha. Zorat liha zanya te de tira zaha vo voramata. So I just pray. I just pray for the team around them also. Her and Pastor D, for the team around them, the right people, oh, the right people, the right people, the right people. Zorat lida jahavora matate, and the finances, it'll come in an abundant measure, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance. So prepare ahead, plan ahead that which he's already talked to you about.